From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Today on the show, we will have a conversation with Craig Rodriguez, former Ole Miss baseball player, discussing a variety of topics. We haven't actually taped the interview yet. We'll do that here in a minute. So we'll see where we get to. I mean, you know, we talked to Cody Satterwhite, Christian Tran in past months. Those didn't necessarily go in the direction. Went in a much better direction than had planned to begin with. So we'll talk to Craig here in a bit. He was on the 06 and 07 teams. Also returned to Ole Miss as a kind of a GA for a semester or so as well with the baseball program a couple years ago. So Craig coming up. Big thing today, though. Louisville gets their sanctions yesterday. They're going to appeal them. They're going to have to vacate some wins, potentially vacate a national title. Rick Pitino gets 5 ACC games for his punishment for head coach responsibility. And the scholarships went up to 6 scholarships over a 4-year period, if I have that correct. So that is and now remember, basketball, a whole different number of people than football. So that's a fairly significant scholarship hit there for Louisville.
Yeah, it was the part of the story that got completely glossed over. It was a major scholarship hit.
Yeah, so we'll discuss that to start with here in a second. As always, podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford, Mississippi. Pick up the Plenty Card, we tell you, every single day, PLENTI.com. American Express, Hulu, Rite Aid, Nationwide, just a few of the many retailers that help you save money with the Plenty Card. You can swipe it, you can use it inside the convenience store at the Oxford Exxon and all critical locations across Mississippi, and you earn points and save money. Go next door to the Oxford Crystal, get the mix and match 5 for $5, country fried steak, fried chicken crystal, 2 new options with that mix and match 5 for $5. So get those things, and again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com, that's clarkfordinc.com. You call that number, ask for Corey Clark, tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. And then it's up to you. You get your quote and you can shop it around. You can call dealers all over the South, or you can let podcast listeners from all over the South help you do the same thing they did. And that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's nice and simple at Clark Ford. It's right to the bottom line. And then at the end, tell Corey, say, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden podcast, a new one dropping today with Ryan Brown of WJOX in Birmingham. He was great in our interview yesterday afternoon. Either way, $500 off the bottom line from your deal at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
All right, so Louisville gets their penalties, as I said a minute ago. Here's the first thing to consider with this. What does it mean? Potentially nothing, for multiple reasons. First off, different COI.
And that's one of the two big ones, yes.
Yeah, different COI saw this, not the same 10 people. They're going to be in a room in Indianapolis when Ole Miss and Hugh Freeze and all those people go in front of them here soon.
Correct.
Different set of investigators, even.
Yes.
Different enforcement staff. People, I mean, literally every discretionary thing was a different person.
And then one really big one that you're getting to, I think.
Which is this: some of this also happened under old rules.
Yes.
Which Ole Miss does too, but
a little of it. But yeah. Ole Miss is probably going to be ruled on by the new rules.
Yeah.
Louisville was ruled on primarily by the old rules. And I know that's complicated and people are like, what the hell? But it's just, there's a new coach, as it pertains to the coach head coach responsibility thing. Pitino had more of the old working for him. Freeze has less of that.
Okay. Taking that sentence you just said, that paragraph, if you will, this is what should scare the hell out of Ole Miss, in my opinion. A couple different things. First off, I was talking to somebody connected to the situation yesterday. The quote I got was not encouraged by things from an Ole Miss perspective. Was the word used?
About which part specifically? Just in general?
Just Louisville's overall sanctions.
Gotcha.
The entire overall situation.
Okay.
So here's...
And I wasn't asking it to be a pain in the ass. I was just kind of curious when you're breaking it down as it pertains specifically
to Breeze. No, it was a totality standpoint.
A totality, okay.
So here's the thing that gets me a little bit. And this is funny because it kind of goes a little bit with what Dan talked about on the podcast the other day. Somebody mentioned it on the message board this morning. It's what I find so fascinating is I do think Dan, and I really don't mean this derogatory, even though it's the way this is usually used, he is a bit of a mouthpiece for the NCAA. And Dan's conversation with us over 75 minutes was so focused on the totality of the narrative instead of the minutiae or the individual allegations, where he didn't want to get into the specifics, didn't want to argue the merits of specifics. It was just, let's talk narrative. Let's talk totality of systemic problems.
That's one of the reasons I thought it was fascinating.
I think the NCAA shares some of that same view. And Pete Thamel, to a point, Dan, all these guys keep talking about today in Sports Illustrated. Pete Thamel's got a story where the little quickly at the top, where they give you a sentence just to show you what the story's about before you actually read the story.
Okay.
Penalties being levied are becoming more consistent and predictable, which should worry schools awaiting whatever.
Sentencing.
Yeah, whatever. So what's funny about that is everybody keeps saying that. Everybody keeps going, oh, they're more predictable, they're more whatever. And yes, the rule book is more whatever. The matrix is more streamlined to punish people. But to the NCAA's benefit, there's still enough wiggle room for them to look at a situation and go, well, we believe this happened even though we can't prove it necessarily, and we're going to hit you with that matrix no matter what. So it's a very pro-NCAA change to the rule book where who says they're becoming more consistent? Look at the cases where there's actually been head coach responsibility, and I get we're old rule book, new rule book, but we haven't had new rule book yet, so I don't know if they're more consistent or not.
Right.
So you've got Rick Pitino that gets 5 games in the ACC. Larry Brown got 9 games. Non-conference games, if I remember correctly.
I think that's right. Jim Boeheim at first got 10 ACC appealed and made it first 10 overall.
Yeah, or 9, I think. But anyway.
9, 10, whatever.
Yeah, so he ends up getting overall.
I think you're right. It was
those
9.
Are the only really recent head coach responsibility. Now, look, Rick Pitino gets 5 games. That's the equivalent of 1 to 2 SEC football games. If we're doing basketball to football. There's 16 or so
one
ACC
point something games.
Games,
yeah.
So, and then you go back farther than that. And this is why the rules changed. But it's kind of proven my point still, even though it was under an old regime and it was under the woman that had the Miami debacle. Bruce Pearl got 3-year show calls for a barbecue and an 8-game suspension.
Let me add something to Pearl real quick.
Yeah,
something
that
keeps – this isn't me picking on you at all. But a lot of people are forgetting one key thing in the Pearl thing. Yeah, it was just a barbecue, in quotes.
Yeah.
But when he was first asked about the barbecue,
he lied about it.
He lied about it and tried to corroborate a story.
Yeah.
So there was a certain degree
of
cover up. Anyway,
but there's still a 3-year show calls and an 8-game SEC suspension.
Yes.
Huge penalty.
Massive.
I mean, on the face, Jim Tressel got a whatever show calls that ends his career at the level, essentially, for tattoos.
Yes.
Tattoos.
Also lied to the NCAA about the tattoos.
And this is kind of where I'm coming back on this whole thing, as everybody goes, well, Louisville got a break. You know, as I said as many times, only power programs are getting popped here. Louisiana Lafayette didn't get popped.
No. They
really... It's the power programs that get popped. And Ole Miss, you've been to 2 Access Bowls, you're a power program. You're in that Tennessee basketball, Ohio State football, Alabama football, USC football. You've got all these things. And
so when Ole Miss says we're not a blue blood, you played in 2 Access Bowls very recently. You might not be a 50-year blue blood, but you're a right now blue blood.
See, and I think the NCAA, I think they let Pitino off light yesterday. I think they gave him a very light sentence.
Did you read the stuff about the prostitution and taking the recruits and guiding them into a room to have sex with these prostitutes?
And that's where I'm coming back. What makes it, to me at least, just based on what I was kind of talking about with the NCAA, their ability to wiggle their way into harsher penalties, if you will. I mean, it's the ultimate worst part of a bureaucracy is we have all these rules that do all these things that change absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Alabama's still great at football. Ole Miss can still win football games. You take out NCAA, they're still going to win football games. Alabama's still going to be great at football. You're going to do all these things. They do all these things to essentially do nothing in so many ways. And I think they have the ultimate wiggle room to get in that room and go, yeah, well, you should have known anyway. I don't really care how many pages you spent to this, how many pages you spent to that, what you did, didn't do. Because I actually went through and read it yesterday. Patino, while it was different, and again, that's the other thing here too. Forget COIs, forget penalty structures. I think Damel said there's all snowflakes. It's true. Every case is so different. But where the NCAA kind of plays God a little bit, a sin is a sin. They don't really distribute between $10,000, $2,000, prostitutes, pay-for-play, academic scandals. You just cheated. That's all they really care about, and they try to pop you in a way that they see is accordingly to their almighty power.
It's one of the reasons that I'm not convinced that all of the pushback about Ole Miss, and this isn't me criticizing. I think Leo, I've said this, I think Leo Lewis lied. I don't think Leo Lewis is a credible witness. I can't be any more clear than that.
Yeah.
However, if the NCAA determines that three of the 30 claims, and I'm just throwing numbers out of a hat, okay, are accurate that he made. If the NCAA says, yeah, you know, that's true, that happened, that might not have happened, that did. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it was $10,000 or $1,000. If a booster coordinated a payment of Leo Lewis and the NCAA determines that it did,
if we take the Louisville people,
you're going to get hit.
If we take the Louisville people at their word, and I say people because I don't know if it was Jurich yesterday or the president or who it was.
Okay.
But either way,
it was all of the above.
Yeah, but whomever was speaking as the spokesman for Louisville talking about that, throughout the process, they keep hearing the terms from the investigators about red flags for Patino's head coach responsibility.
Yes.
Red flags this, red flags this, and here's the thing. And they said that when they got in front of that COI, there was never one question, there was never one comment about any of those issues, and there was never even that any of those issues or specificity brought up in the report from the NCAA. Essentially, they just made up their own rules, decided what was going to happen, and then punished them as they saw accordingly. And here's the other thing that pops on. I mean, it's kind of where it's on the same token as Ole Miss, not from a vacated wins, but from a bowl ban standpoint. It's not just losing those games. It's losing the money that went with those tournament games. There was a subsection, if I'm taking Howie Lindsay, the Rivals Louisville guy, at his word yesterday, off Twitter, where they have to repay all the compensation they got for how many ever NCAA tournament games happened under this process.
And it was about 3 years worth of tournaments.
15 tournament games.
It's a huge repay.
Tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Tens of millions. So that's the thing, too, getting financially hammered.
When people say Louisville got off lightly, Patino got off lightly.
Yeah, he get off lightly because he's Rick Patino?
Yes.
Okay.
My opinion. I mean, let me backtrack.
Yeah, of course.
My opinion. So if I say to you, I did Ryan Brown, you'll hear this on the Beer Garden later today.
All right.
Ryan Brown and I did a little exercise. Rick Patino, college coaches, any sport. Pick your sport, I don't care. All right. Sports.
Sure.
No pro, just college.
Yep.
Biggest name. Nick Saban's number one. Urban Meyer's probably number two.
I'd go Harbaugh or Calipari, but okay.
Okay. And then Harbaugh, Calipari. And then after that,
it's about Rick Pitino.
Yeah.
In the handful.
In the very small handful.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. No, in my opinion, he and I discussed this, no lower than fifth.
Off the top of my head, that's fair, which should be the point.
As high as second or third. I don't think
Coach K's in there too.
Who?
K.
Yeah, Mike Krzyzewski is too.
Yeah.
But way up there. I mean, when you do the exercise.
NBA coach, NCAA coach.
When you do the exercise.
Dude's been around forever.
Yes. When you do the exercise, his name comes up in the very first handful of coaches, which is the point.
Yeah.
So is he a blue blood? Yes. Does that impact the case? I think so.
Boeheim was a blue blood. Got a little relief.
And he got a good bit of relief because he.
The only guy who hasn't gotten relief from a blue blood standpoint is Jim Calhoun.
Yes. And they hated him.
Yes. He got hammered.
They hated him.
Which, kind of coming back to the point, they have feelings, they make their mind up, and there we go.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was a nothing day for Ole Miss from a reading the actual responses in the reports. I thought it was a bad day for Ole Miss on the systemic way the NCAA went about the process.
Thought it was a bad day for Hugh Freeze in that
Well, right.
If you read the Louisville case, And look, I think Patino knew. Okay, but there's duh. No, there's yeah, duh. But there's no written proof, Chase, that he knew.
No.
Now, should he have known? Of course. And that's what the NCAA ruled. It is my firm opinion. I think you share it. If you don't, please say no, I don't. That at minimum, Hugh Freeze is staring a suspension in the face. That might just be two games, but I do think he's going to
get suspended. It's hard to look at that yesterday and think there's anything but some type of suspension coming.
Okay, I'm with you completely.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Is that fair? I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying any of that. I am saying I do anticipate a suspension. I do.
Yeah, new rules that are harder on head coaches and the way they went about telling Patino, we don't care, you're going to spend it anyway. Yes. Now, it does bring into it, you know, it still brings into it, when is the suspension, how does it work, SEC games, full games, what, when, how, where, and why. But
I'm going to be honest. If Hugh Freeze gets a suspension that can be managed in the season without drastically impacting his ability to recruit in a given class, he should view that, and Ole Miss should view that as victory. My opinion.
Well, I mean, at this point, here's something too. I don't think we're missing anything. I think our timeline is strong. Why do national reporters keep getting the timeline messed up on Ole Miss's case?
I don't know.
40 had the July or June thing that is wrong.
Yeah, June, which is...
And then Thamel yesterday says when Ole Miss has their hearing sometime in 2018. I don't really get it. I mean, it's just weird.
If this stretches into 18, Ole Miss should sue for malpractice, for malfeasance, for something, damn it.
Pick your root word.
But I mean, just we're suing, period. All of you.
Yeah, he says here in the paragraph, Louisville will appeal Patino's suspension and vacated title developments with blah, 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 blah. An Ole Miss football extra benefits case sometime in 2018.
I mean, listen, you and I have asked the principals in this over and over, and we get the same answer. So for those wondering, what's the timeline? To the best of our collective knowledge, and Chase and I have both been in the room or standing there at the same time when we have the conversation with these people. Ole Miss's response was due around May the 25th. Let's use the 25th. It doesn't.
I think it was the 23rd, but who cares?
Whatever. 23rd. We'll use the 23rd then. So
June, July. July 23rd.
The NCAA has until roughly July the 23rd. It's 60 days, so whatever that is.
Close enough.
Call it the 23rd. To file their response.
And then they've got to get things scheduled.
Then they get it scheduled. We were told scheduled.
Ole Miss was hoping for late August.
Ole Miss was hoping for late August. We were told late September, or I think just the month of September was a possibility.
Which brings final sanctions down because it was 8 weeks to the day for Louisville.
To the day. So call that 2 months.
So
call
you're mid-October to late November.
Mid-October to yeah, some October/November. October 1st.
The middle of the freaking season.
October 1st to November the 30th would be the window for penalties coming down.
Yeah.
So. And then after they set the hearing, we'll be able to narrow that window down more.
Yeah. So there's our initial thoughts. We'll come back to 28. This.
If this case doesn't go in front of the COI until 2018.
Everyone should be fired over there. And I mean the NCAA.
Literally everyone should be shut down.
Yeah. I've got some more thoughts, but we'll come back to those. Let's now talk a little baseball. Before we do that, Tate Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. They do all their underwriting and processing in Memphis. So you get local underwriting and understands your area and market. Also, the leader in condo financing in Oxford. Ask about the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact Jason Lowe at 662-234-2704 or JLowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He's an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on what you're looking for. You can filter through. The results are updated daily. And then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're looking for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. We've got new ones, previously owned ones. Great lease deals. You can get a 1990s price on a lease and drive a brand new Nissan vehicle. So if your miles are limited and your budget is as well, or you're just trying to be frugal, that is the way to go at Grenada Nissan. You can learn more by talking to Gene and Sandy at Grenada Nissan, GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Registration for Oxford Park Commission Youth Soccer is going on right now for the fall 2017 season. It'll go through July the 7th. Cost is $55 per child. There's a multi-child discount available. Age range is 4 to 16, classified via year of birth. This year's season will begin in late August and run through October. Schedules will be posted 2 weeks before the season starts. Games are played at beautiful FNC Park. To learn more, go to the website. It's oxfordparkcommission.com.
Now let's go to Craig Rodriguez on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Little change of programming there. Craig had something come up. No worries, though. We will continue on with the podcast. We will get him back next week to pull up an interview. You got plenty of time. It's the middle of June. It is summer, so other than the NCAA things that we've already discussed and whatnot, I think we will have plenty of time to kill on the podcast prior to, you know, the official start of football season, July 11th with SEC Media Day. So,
That's,
I mean, camp will be at least 35 days from beginning or something around that time. So.
Yes. That's what I love. Everybody says, football season starts with media days, and I'm like, football season, the media days end, and then there is literally another 2.5 to 3 weeks before camp starts.
We keep bringing media days earlier and earlier and keep the same narrative that starts the season.
Why
and
do we do that?
It's just like, why media days gets the attention it does instead of Destin getting that attention when it's by far the more productive week.
I can't think of three. I mean, I always will write like storylines to watch at Media Days, and off the top of my head,
it's
can't.
It's obligatory. It's the only reason you're doing it.
We go, honestly, we go for Ole Miss's Day because you actually will get a little news there.
You get the pre-local media thing.
Yeah. And then we go because we will tape podcast interviews.
Yeah.
That's it.
Get a week interviews out of it.
It's just nothing else to it.
We even got you to learn how to do Dropbox a couple years ago.
We're going to do Dropbox again this year. In fact, we're going to test it here soon.
Are we?
We're going to make sure it's all good.
Quick refresher course on the Dropbox.
Yes. And there's no point in pretending that's not the case.
Oregon State arrived in Omaha yesterday without Luke Heimlich. He is not pitching anymore this season. However, he has been given an endorsement to return to the Beavers baseball team next season.
News cycles are short. People will forget.
It's going to be all right by next year, isn't it? What you're saying?
More all right.
From a PR standpoint, at least.
Yeah. More all right than it is today.
I'm sad I'm not joining them, Heimlich said in a statement issued through a family representative, because doing so would only create further distraction for my teammates, more turmoil for my family, and given the high profile of the national championship, direct even more unwanted attention to an innocent young girl. I want to wish my teammates the best. I hope they understand the decision as my family and I continue to work through this together. My hope is to return to OSU next year as a student athlete and to continue to earn the trust of my community. The president at Oregon State, Ed Ray, also released a statement saying Luke decided that he would no longer represent this university this year as a member of the baseball team. As such, he will not participate in the College World Series nor travel with the baseball team to Omaha. I concur with his decision, as to do otherwise would certainly serve as a disruption and distraction to the team due to the significant public scrutiny this matter has attracted as well. I am mindful of the need for providing safety for all concerned that otherwise might be at risk during times of heightened emotions. If Luke wishes to do so, I support him continuing his education at Oregon State and rejoining the baseball team next season.
It's probably the right way to handle this.
It is such a sensitive issue for the right reasons. I don't mean that badly.
No, of course.
The positive he has going for him is that from a court standpoint, he's already been punished. He did not commit this crime yesterday. It's a reactionary penalty in a way. Again, mean that within context.
Yeah, I get it.
But it is a reactionary penalty in a way.
It is. He, from a legal system, has been adjudicated, and he has paid his sentence that was imposed on him by the state of Washington. And the way we do our criminal courts, he's through that process and he deserves a second chance. There's no sign that he's done anything like that again.
No.
So, and God knows, listen, and I'm not siding with anybody here at all, because I feel so badly for that little girl and her family.
The best part of the story is that her name and everything hasn't been drugged back through it again.
It's never come out. I will be furious at any media entity that tried. And then next, he's paid a pretty big price in the court of public opinion here.
He was not drafted.
Yeah, I mean, it cost him.
A guy with a 0.83 ERA.
He probably won't ever be drafted.
He could draft him next year.
You think?
Yep.
A lot lower than he would have.
Well, yeah. But no, he could take him.
Yeah. You're probably right. Someone will take him late.
I get it's not the same. Again, snowflakes. Why does he go 40 rounds without getting drafted and Joe Mixon's taken fairly early?
Whew.
Not the same.
No,
but
I know what you're saying. Well, with Mixon,
it's the sports, right?
It's the sports.
There's no immediate help. You can with baseball prospects, you can play in your mind they're going to bust or they're 5 years away. There's no instant gratification from it.
Also with football, just keeping this part real.
Okay.
They wear helmets. They're out there on the field, and you can't really see people's faces when they're playing football.
Think that plays a role?
I think it's part of it.
Just a subconscious thing?
Yeah, I don't think people are sitting around going, hey, you know, let's make sure he wears a face guard so that no one can see his eyes.
Yeah.
But when you're watching a football game, and you and I go to football games every
year.
Pretty
good bit.
You don't see faces.
No.
We watch numbers, bodies, people, colors. We don't see faces.
I have a hard time picking football players out when I first meet them without their helmets on.
Yeah. Baseball players, you see their faces. You go to lots of baseball games, you see faces. You can watch a pitcher struggle on the mound. You can watch a hitter react. You can watch a fielder's face after an error or a good play.
Yeah.
Different sports. And then there's immediacy. Joe Mixon, the athlete, can help an NFL team right now. This kid probably would have to go pitch in the minor leagues for a little while.
Yeah. Dang good pitcher, though.
Yeah.
Oregon State, still the favorite, even though they're losing a guy with a 0.83 ERA.
What's their record? They're like
54-4.
It's pretty good.
They are playing to probably be the best college baseball team of all time if they win it.
They've not lost an NCAA game yet, right?
No. Swept the regional, outscoring people like 30-7 or something, and then beat Vanderbilt two straight games without this guy pitching. That is my only hesitation that everybody's making the right play here is that it's not a new crime. And Oregon State either is protecting him or doing a disservice to him by not disclosing how long they've known this. Because if Oregon State knew this the entire time, this is unfair to the kid.
Absolutely.
If they knew what was going in and then aren't playing him, it's unfair to him, and it is incredibly unfair to his teammates that are playing for a national championship without one of their best players.
And this kind of dovetails with the NCAA thing. If they didn't know, why didn't they know? Should they have known?
Yeah, the only way this is his fault is if he covered it up and lied about it.
That's it. If he was ever asked, have you ever committed a crime? Have you ever been charged with a crime? Oh, no. And then this comes out, then it would stand to reason they wouldn't welcome him back next year. The fact that they're welcoming him back tells me this wasn't news to them. A braver move on the part of Oregon State would be to come out and say, look, you can judge this one way or the other, but we knew about it. We made a decision. He's been a model citizen since he's been here, and he's playing. Unless the kid and his family are saying, man, this thing has popped up again, and we're
like at Ole Miss, there are questions asked on the university application, like when students apply or whatever, and there's probably like an athletic section on like the scholarship approval form. Also, some SEC background check stuff from a policy standpoint. And then I know Ole Miss does some type of search on everybody they send an LOI to. So that's what's funny about this. Did Heimlich lie at any point? I mean, that is the question. And kind of talking about that, Ray also said that the school would review its policies in the wake of the situation. The school did not currently restrict participation by student-athletes who have felony convictions. University officials in the athletic department have not specified when anyone at the school became aware of Heimlich's past conviction or his sex offender registration status. So, there we are.
They are absolutely hoping that they win a championship and the story goes away. Something tells me the Oregonian is going to keep asking, did you know? What did you do to find out?
At some point, Pat Casey's going to have to talk about it.
At some point. Because the story's not going
away.
He's
given a canned quote to somebody in the last week about it, just, you know, disappointed, blah, 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 blah. But
if I'm at the Oregonian at this point, we're asking the question every day until
when
it's
did
answered.
You know and how did you know?
When did you know? How did you know? If you didn't know, what?
What's on your forms? Give me a form. How's it ask?
Not to crucify you, but to find out how you avoid this happening again. Because if you know, you probably don't take the kid.
Heimlich, a junior left-hander, leads the nation with I was even wrong. It was better than I thought. 0.76 ERA. He was Baseball America had him rated the 43rd best prospect in the country last week prior to the news. Keith Law took him off his big board of the top 100 prospects. Prior to that, he was 76th on Law's big board. So,
whew.
A lot of money.
Yeah. A
lot of money. Yeah, he'll get drafted next year.
Left-handed?
Yep.
Probably, yeah.
A year from now, time to pass? Yeah. Is it where Dusty Baker's kid was drafted?
Darren?
Yeah. Kid that got dragged off the field?
Yeah. Who dragged him off?
JT Snow.
JT Snow.
Yeah. Who were they playing?
It was the Angels and the Giants.
That World Series?
Yeah. Because Dusty Baker joined the Cubs.
I saw the helmet. But I wasn't looking close. I just saw red, so I wasn't sure if it was that or a Cardinals NLCS game or something. I couldn't tell what it was.
It was World Series, Angels, Giants.
Okay.
Because the Dusty Baker rumors were flying at that point.
You were locked in.
I was locked in. John Lackey pitched in that series for the Angels.
Who's your College World Series pick?
It's hard not to take Oregon State, given all that they've done.
Even without the dude?
They've made it this far.
Offense set up pretty well for that park. Not a team that's going to really get devastated by the conditions at TD Ameritrade.
I don't know. What SEC teams? It's LSU, Florida.
And A&M.
A&M.
Don't like A&M.
None of them really have a chance, right? Florida's kind of built for it.
Florida pitches it so well, they just don't hit at all.
But in that park.
Yeah, small ball, run some guys around.
Can LSU do it? I'll be locked in on the Tigers a little bit because my boy's going. He went with
you're
the
all
Cubs.
In with Lang.
Well, I'm. Yeah, I am. Shoot me.
You are. You're in.
Yeah.
All right, one side of the bracket.
When does he pitch?
He's going to throw 7 o'clock on June 17th.
Tomorrow night
at 7 o'clock.
I'm watching.
Against the Florida State Seminoles.
Dialed in.
All right, tomorrow.
You think I'm kidding?
Tomorrow we got Oregon State, Cal State, Fullerton.
Oh, can I interrupt real quick? Because I'll forget otherwise.
Yeah.
Keegan Thompson got drafted by the Cubs. Give me a quick scouting report.
Throws the ball in the low 90s. Incredibly controlled, accurate, can throw a lot of ground balls at the next level. That's kind of who he is.
As Jeffrey used to say, my pants just got a little tighter.
Yeah, Wrigley, you like hearing throws a lot of ground balls, don't you?
I love ground balls.
Yeah, Keegan can have a lot of command. Had some arm issues at times,
yeah,
but it's okay
I knew
right
that.
Now. No, he's probably a better pitcher at the next level than he is this level.
I'm retroactively pissed off at the Auburn coach for throwing him in the SEC tournament. That wasn't necessary.
Looking back, that whole Thursday to Tuesday thing wasn't real.
Can we go back to that podcast? Because I'm ready to rip somebody. Anyway, College World Series. I'm sorry.
Oregon State, Cal State Fullerton is the opener. It is tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Oregon State's
going to
win.
That doesn't do a lot for me.
And then the night game and the winners and losers will meet is LSU, Florida State.
That does a lot for me.
LSU, Lang, Florida State. Mike Martin never won a national title. I've been there 7,000 times, never won it. The Lord of No Rings. and then on the other day, day two, because you start taking 17 days off in between games.
I mean, LSU, Florida State, before you give the LSU, Florida State is sexy.
That's a good night game.
I mean, that does a little something for me.
You think the programming knew what they were doing when they went, hey, we got Oregon State, Fullerton, we got LSU, Florida State. We got to throw one of these babies on at 6 o'clock at night.
Guessing that was an easy call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tigers and Knowles. Well,
that's probably didn't take a whole lot of think tanking.
Maybe the next day, too, here is you've got a really great bracket other than A&M, which can be a little spunky, but I just don't like them in the park. I don't think they have enough pitching. They're not coming out of this bracket. Louisville, A&M in the opener, and then Florida TCU in the nightcap.
Florida TCU is pretty sexy.
That's a good game in the nightcap.
I mean, it's not LSU Florida State, but it's there. It's a pretty girl.
Dan McDonald only won one College World Series game in all the times he's been, so can they get hot? Can they get through a bracket? I think they beat A&M tomorrow or Sunday.
Then they have their hands full in that next game.
Yeah, they actually, just trying to get through it from a bracket standpoint, probably need TCU to win. Not quite as deep on the mound. I don't think you – because I don't know what Florida's doing. Maybe they are going back to Fajardo, but Fajardo may be throwing game two because he closed game one on, like, Tuesday. So I don't know what they're doing from a pitching standpoint for the Gators. But
Dan might have caught a break, finally.
I like Louisville and Oregon State in the finals.
Ooh. So is Schlossnagel this good, or what? How did this happen? Because I know he had guys like Matt Carpenter and Jake Arrieta. I mean, I know that he's done a great job recruiting and making it a major
league.
Had
the other dude too with the goggles. What was his name? A couple years ago, big tall. Ah, crap! It's gonna drive me crazy. Anyway, doesn't matter. Private school. So I don't know where they fall on the spectrum, but they can do some Vanderbilt type stuff if they choose to do some Vanderbilt type stuff. That helps.
Matt Perk is who you're thinking of?
That is who it is, yes.
Listen to this.
Okay.
I just Googled Major League Baseball players from TCU. Brandon Finnegan.
Yep.
Jake Arrieta.
Yep.
Matt Carpenter.
Yep.
Andrew Cashner. Brian Holiday. Chad Huffman, who's in the Cardinals organization. Matt Perk. That's probably it. That's a lot recently.
Had a lot of really good college players too, like Preston Morrison.
Yeah.
Some different dudes. They're in the Metroplex. They are benefiting from Texas kind of sucking at times. They have it's great education, scholarship advantages. Schlossnagel's great. Good area. I mean, just campus-wise, living area.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. They just it is a perfect baseball job. Now that they've gotten in the Big 12 and they're in a good conference, perfect baseball job. Really is. Benefits from a Big 12. It's a kind of a sneaky, low-rate baseball conference from a facility standpoint. Like, Oklahoma's not an elite job. Oklahoma State's got a crap facility. You know, West Virginia's been able to find a little bit of momentum there because the conference is just weird. So, no, TCU, great job. I think they've been 4 years in a row to the College World Series.
That's impressive.
I think that's right.
Something like that. It feels like they're there all the
time. Ole Miss eliminated them in 14, and I think they've been there since. They haven't won it yet, but no, good bracket, though. Big name teams. You know, it's West Coast and it's weird, but Fullerton's not a terrible pick for that park if they pitch. They'll bunch you crazy and drive you nuts, but Fullerton and Long Beach was hard to watch. There's a guy on second with one out, and they're bunting him to third with two outs and stuff. Like, they just – that West Coast brand of baseball bothers me.
Yeah, although it's effective in that park. Every run counts.
Yeah, so anyway, there's your bracket. Good games. Good stuff to watch. That with the – the U.S. Open. So, I don't know. That will close the book there. I'm sure we'll talk about that on Monday. Podcast also brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding areas. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Some of the services include landscape design and installation, landscape lighting, irrigation installation, maintenance, and turf. They can do holiday lighting for your yard during the holiday season, so give them a call for a free quote, 662-607-7773, MasterCutsLawn.com. If you sign up for an annual contract and mention it on the podcast, first cut on them.
Podcast also brought to you by the Rebel Locker Room. Rebel Locker Room on West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It is the place to go for all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear. All the styles, all the colors, red, blue, powder blue, everything you're looking for men, women, children. It's all there at the Rebel Locker Room. Ole Miss football season tickets are available. OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. The podcast, speaking of football season, getting closer. You want to get your tailgating needs taken care of. 7 South Tailgating can hook you up. 7 South Tailgating, owned and operated by Colin Jordan Thornton. It's equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can service most any of your tailgating needs. SEC-only packages, full-season packages, rental packages, all available. Or they can set up your gear and set it up for you. They have game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more at 7 South Tailgating. If you give 7 South a try for a season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site is 7southtailgating.com. You can reach them by cell, 662-321-1682. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have 3 attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com, mississippibanker.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on Superlawyers or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
On the site today, I took a shot at next year's baseball lineup. You can read that on the message board. Also linked out front for subscribers, taking the draft into account and some other things. So new names, some same names there in that. You can see that. Also, congrats on a very, very solid first day for Jonathan Randolph, friend of the podcast. 1 under in his first round yesterday at the U.S. Open. That is a top 30 finish after day one. He was 1 under there on the back nine, had a bogey somewhere around 16, 17, and then birdied 18 to get back to 1 under on a day when a lot of big names struggled. Randolph with a really good day. If he'd have told him going into the day, you're going to beat Rory McIlroy by 7 shots, he probably would have felt pretty good about the day that he was going to have.
Yeah, I would think so.
There were tons of low scores, tons of opportunity. If you hit the ball in the fairway, you scored well. You didn't hit the ball in the fairway, and it became a round from hell very, very quickly. Ricky Fowler leading things at 7 under as of this taping this morning. So quick update there. I have not heard a peep from Phil Mickelson. I'm assuming his day went well, but apparently.
I'm sure it did.
I think he's fine.
I think it went well.
Just pointing it out.
Had a nice bottle. A nice meal, probably.
Our boy Russell bought all the Rockies yesterday.
You know,
all of them, all 7.
You have to be impressed with the desire to catch up, the desire to.
We make fun of him on one day in the podcast, and somehow he finds
7
DVDs or Blu-rays in a 24-hour period. I mean.
And he's going to watch them all.
I don't think I could, because it would take me 2 days to call Amazon and get them shipped to me, or yeah, to log on and get them shipped to me.
Our boy gets stuff done.
He had to go to the Walmart bin and dig through the $5 movies, right?
He said he did it for $25.
Hey, here's a list of 5 movies, and you have to get them in your hand today. What would you do?
I'd have to go to Walmart and dig through the bin. I'd have to go. Where would you go?
You'd do that. Maybe Best Buy.
Best Buy would have, but you'd be digging.
You'd actually would have better luck at Walmart or somewhere finding the commemorative box set. I'm sure there's a set of all seven. You just get them at one time. Because it appeared that our boy Russell bought them individually. It wasn't a box set.
Said he spent $25.
Yeah, they're. I mean, I'm sure you can get Rocky II pretty cheap these days in a DVD format. What's the last DVD you bought, Neil?
Oh, gosh. Oh, because I bought one 2 or 3 years ago.
Why?
I know. Because I wanted to watch it on a plane. I bought Creed.
Hold on.
I wanted to watch it on my computer on a plane.
So you go to Amazon or you go to iTunes and you buy and then download it to your computer and you don't need the DVD.
Yeah, but I was in a Best Buy and it was right there.
Actually, I don't even have a DVD.
No, mine doesn't anymore,
now.
But the other one did.
It was very 1997 of you there, Neil.
Thanks,
good
man.
Good job.
Thanks, man.
My last one was Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Yeah, it's a good film.
Well, I was trying to do a travel thing and was going to hook the portable DVD player up in the car, and then I realized the better move was to buy a Kindle Fire and just download it, and that way just hitting one button over and over and over again every time Mickey stops playing the hot dog song.
Time to restart.
It's time to kick it in gear again. Because it'll get you about 3 hours in a car without too much trouble.
Yeah, kind of locked in.
Oh, yeah, that one? That's the only one.
Watch
but that
the pacifier
one,
move a little bit, and you're all good.
Never had a pacifier.
Really?
Nope.
Wow.
You didn't know that? Yeah. No, seriously.
She just wasn't interested in
pacifiers?
Since
like 3 weeks old, no pacifier. None. Won't take them.
Wow. We had to negotiate deals with our kids to get rid of the pacifiers.
No.
I mean, had to go to like the United Nations and work out a trade.
No pacifier, no blankie, no bottles anymore, completely off the bottle.
No stuffed animal, no nothing that's kind of clingy to?
No. Loves a book, little bitty book that just has pictures of animals and the name of the animal under it. There's like 20 of them. I probably could rattle them off in order in my head.
Sure.
Can name one or two of the animals, name one or two of the sounds, but reads this book conservatively 78 times a day. If that book is in sight, we are grabbing the book and we're walking to someone and going, hey, let's
go through this.
Let's read a book here.
That's awesome.
It's a good book. I'm sure it's a good children's book. A lot of names. We can talk sounds through the animals.
Yeah,
but
here's
the thing. Here's what I don't understand. So it's dog, kitten, bird, normal stuff. Lion, tiger, your standard things.
Yeah, sure.
Then on like page 8, macaw. Like the parrot looking thing.
You drop a macaw in among the lions and tigers and elephants?
It is the strangest thing I've ever seen.
That is fascinating.
Yeah, all these normal things, and then macaw.
Like cow, pig.
Why not just say parrot, even if you were going to do this?
Yeah, it would make more sense than macaw.
So
for the rest of her life, she'll be like, oh, there's a macaw. And you'll be like, no, it's a parrot.
Don't be weird. don't be weird. But, I mean, really, though, because if you I think I would have eventually figured it out, but it would have taken me a second if somebody goes, hey, go get the macaw off the thing. I'd have thought about like
I would have had to think about it a little.
Parrot, okay. Toucan, okay.
Sure. Parakeet.
Yeah. No, not so much with the macaw. It bothers me.
That's interesting.
Macaw and guinea pig are the two kind of strange ones in the book.
So she's too young to be into like the Cars movies because the Cars 3 drops today, I think.
Yeah, I mean, she's 15 months later this week.
Too young to have like a thing for Lightning McQueen.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's the only shows that'll sort of captivate her are Mickey Mouse Clubhouse,
yeah,
Little Einsteins.
It's a good show.
Little Einsteins?
Little Einsteins is a good show.
It is a good show.
Seriously, I could sit and watch Little Einsteins.
Yeah, it's not awful. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, for that age, the really young kid,
fantastic.
Is not awful.
No, it's fantastic.
It's much better than like Mutton Stuff or...
I never saw that one.
Doc McStuffins or...
I hated that one.
Bubble Guppy. She hates Bubble Guppies, thank God.
Yeah, that's a good sign for her intelligence. Bubble Guppies is tough. Like, I could sit and watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse with the kids when it was fine. I mean, I wasn't like, oh, this is an Emmy award-winning show, but I was fine. There were like Oswald... I actually liked that a little bit.
I can play any type of music, and she's pretty accessible to it. Kind of dance around, move around with music.
Yeah.
So that's easy enough. I can we were mentioning this, like, you know, I can talk to Alexa and tell her to play pretty much any stream of music, and she'll be okay.
I got to get this Alexa thing.
You like the Alexa idea?
The idea, the more I think about it, the
they more probably have the money to make them, since they just bought Whole Foods for $13 billion.
That's with a B.
B, billion. Buying a grocery store chain. An online retailer.
Amazon's not far away
from. So is Amazon going to be brick and mortar now? Is that what we're getting at? Which they do in places have the, I don't want to say outlet stores, but kind of outlet stores where you go in and buy things through Amazon.
But yeah, Whole Foods is brick and mortar. You can't make Whole Foods nothing but online or delivery. It won't work. Would it? I don't want to do my grocery shopping online.
You don't? You bothered by that? No. Isn't it Kroger where you buy all the groceries online in some locations and then go just pick them up and they'll be waiting for you at the counter?
Yeah, I guess so.
Isn't that right?
I've heard that. I like.
You hate going to the grocery store. Don't do this. You hate the grocery store.
I don't hate the grocery store.
You wear headphones.
But I enjoy that. I listen to a podcast. I get my shopping done.
So you like the act of going and feeling the melons and going through the store?
I love to feel melons.
Okay. Making sure it's ripe.
Give them a soft
squeeze. Just the right plumpness to the tomato.
Yep.
Okay. Peaches are perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You want to touch the peach.
Just see what it feels like.
Yeah.
You
don't like to squeeze the melons? Just to make sure that they're ripe before you bring them home and find out they're not?
I don't think I could tell the difference in the ripeness of a melon, but cantaloupe, maybe.
You a cantaloupe person?
Love it.
Really?
Everybody loves it or hates it. Nobody has no opinion on cantaloupe.
I just can't. I can't do it.
Tastes too much like a banana for you?
I don't know what it is. I just don't like it.
Why?
I don't know.
Do you like honeydew?
Not really.
Watermelon?
No.
Whoa, you hate watermelon?
Despise it with a passion.
Why?
I don't know. I don't even like the flavor. Like a Jolly Rancher watermelon flavor, I'll spit it out.
You're serious?
Totally.
I didn't know that.
Cannot stand it.
I don't know that I've ever met someone who doesn't like watermelon.
Well, you now have.
You love peanut butter.
I adore it with a passion.
One of your favorite foods.
Would marry it.
Okay, fruit-wise, bananas, cantaloupes, watermelons, what else? Or what do you eat fruit-wise?
Not much. I mean, I can eat grapes.
Okay.
I can eat an apple.
That's about it?
Not happily.
But strawberry?
If you make me.
Blue or black berries?
I actually like blackberries some.
Okay.
Not a real big fan of blueberries.
Kiwi?
It's okay.
See, I really like kiwi.
It's okay.
But I'm a fruit person. I like almost all fruit.
I wish I were.
I'm not a big orange fan.
I do like oranges.
I have a bad tolerance for acid.
Oh.
And oranges will give me ulcers.
Oh, okay.
Big red gum will give me ulcers.
I haven't had big red gum since I was a kid.
I probably haven't either because it gives me ulcers.
I don't really like
cinnamon toothpaste.
No. Like cinnamon, like candy and stuff. I'm not crazy about it.
Because it doesn't actually taste like cinnamon. For some reason, they decided cinnamon was supposed to be this spicy, hot flavor.
Yeah, it's just like, and I like spicy and hot, but I don't like a candy that's spicy and hot. I do like the dark chocolate with chili in it. That's good.
That is good.
It's good stuff.
Dark chocolate. They make them, and you know, they do it for liquor stores, like to mix with bourbon, the dark chocolate bacon to give you a lot of different flavors with bourbon.
Oh, I've not had that.
Yeah, you can get little pieces of dark chocolate bacon to meld with flavors of bourbon and stuff.
Really? Where is this?
I'm sure you have to order it online.
We have to have a conversation later.
Our community mortgage boy, Jason Lowe, introduced me to it and had me have some.
I'm intrigued.
Are you?
To say the least.
Your game now.
I'm interested.
So
my antenna is up.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the news, though. Whole Foods, yeah, Amazon, $13 billion as we are talking. So
there's between that. Amazon and, like, Apple, kind of have a market there.
Is it? I don't want to make too much of it because for the most part, if you use it smartly, it improves your life and it's a streamlined process. We rely a lot on computers and machines, though, just from that company standpoint of, I mean, I was telling you a minute ago, maybe in our break, about how I use Amazon so many different ways every day. Between Amazon and Apple, those two companies,
they could big brother you if they wanted.
I'm spending those two companies, I'm really being serious here. I'm not being hyperbolic. 13 or 14 hours a day involved with one of those products?
I think you're probably underestimating. Because you're not a huge sleeper.
I sleep about 6.5 hours a night.
So that leaves 17 and a half hours out of the day. 13 might be right. You're on a device or a computer a lot.
I mean, but you can even play it past that. I mean,
talking to a thing that runs your, hey, play this for my child.
It's doing that. It's if I'm on a golf course, I've got a speaker hung up on my cart that's playing Amazon through it. I mean, just for music purposes. Yeah. Like, there's something all the time. You mentioned it, you're in the grocery store. If I'm driving, well, my phone's playing because it's playing a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, I have some interaction with the machine.
I'm the same way.
14 of my 17 hours a day, minimum.
You're probably not abnormal.
Yeah.
It's probably normal.
It's a little scary.
Well, I mean, the whole Big Brother thing, I mean, if those companies probably, if they so chose, could tell you a lot about Chase Parham.
Oh.
You know, but not like you.
I don't care.
Nah, whatever.
Yeah, on the privacy issue, I don't really care.
Yeah, Neil McCready likes the Cubs a lot. He listens to a lot of basketball podcast. He listens to music. He's really boring.
Yeah. I mean, because from a privacy standpoint, oh, he has this much money in his bank account. All right. What do you do about it? Yeah.
He pays off this card on this date. He pays off this card on that date.
Yeah.
His car payment is this. Whatever. That's not exciting. I mean, if I'm exciting, then good Lord.
That's kind of the deal. It's if there are privacy issues, they're not worried about you.
No. No, the whole they're spying on people. Well, if they're wasting their time spying on me, they're asleep by now.
Yeah, just a strange concept. I don't know. Weird, but.
Maybe Amazon will buy Rivals.com.
We're Verizon now.
We are Verizon.
I think we are Verizon now.
We are no longer Yahoo.
Do we get phone discounts?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Are you optimistic about that?
I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that everything rocks on for a little while.
We good? All right, thanks.
Everything's okay for now? All right.
It is the... I mean, it's all seriousness. It's not really picking on anybody in any other part of the field. It is somewhat funny, somewhat ironic, and I say this with a little bit of knock on wood, because anything can happen to anybody at any point. I mean, 24/7 and Scout just going through hell or whatever, how they're coming out of their deal. Out of all the media entities, the team side internet companies are the most stable businesses in the field. And it's not close.
Right. Well,
you have lower overhead. You deal with subscribers directly without as many middlemen. And there are people who severely care about college athletics. Sports sections in almost every newspaper are profitable. They're propping up other parts of the paper that are not as profitable. If you were just, I mean, I know, was it Sport Magazine or whatever that struggled and died on the crazy story all those years ago? But
yeah.
For the most part, sports pages, if you kept them on a low overhead basis for just filling that part of the paper, would be profitable. It's everything else. It's a lot like an athletic department. Well, the football program's fine, but we're having to pay for rowing and rifle and tennis.
We used to have this debate at newspapers all the time when the people that, because I worked at a couple of big papers, especially in Mobile, and the news side would always be like, y'all aren't real journalism. We're the reason you still have a job. Notice how many people pick up a newspaper in this state and flip right to Section C. Just take a watch. Take a gander. Take a look. About 2 out of every 3, bud. They're not reading your commentary on the political race. But, man, newspapers are gone, aren't they? I mean, does anybody even pick up hold a newspaper anywhere. I was in Chicago. It's a pretty big newspaper town. The Trib, the Sun-Times.
They didn't pick them up.
The Daily Herald. I swear to you, I was there 4 days. I'm not sure I saw anyone hold a newspaper in his or her hands.
If I were not in media, I would. I would get one in my house every day.
Really?
Yeah. I don't have a desire to sit, read anything about sports around here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
And I, but no, there's something, there still is something cathartic about reading a newspaper to me. Holding it, having it out, having a cup of coffee and a Danish and reading a newspaper.
I'm that way with books.
And see, that's what's funny.
You're the other way.
Give me a Kindle and I'm good. Don't need a real book. Don't need to keep up with it. Nothing. I'm good.
I enjoy holding a book.
This is really dumb. When I get really into a book, I start dreading as the pages get thinner.
Yeah.
And I don't have that sensation with the Kindle.
You know what it is with me? I figured it out one day. I like to go outside and like sit by the pool and read. And if you take a device out there, you can't see it.
Now, Kindle's got a good paper version of it.
But it gets hot, right? The Kindle gets hot?
No, a phone will get hot.
Yeah, a phone will get real hot and you can't do it. But you can go out and carry a book out there and it's all good.
And just the connectivity of it. Because I'll read on my app on my phone, the Kindle app on my phone, and flip through. And it doesn't hurt my eyes somehow, so.
People are learning a whole lot about us on Friday. If you're listening out there, Amazon, we're telling you even more.
I use Amazon more than Apple now in a lot of ways. I'll use Fire TV or Prime more than I will Apple TV.
Yeah.
And things.
If you're out there listening to DirecTV, I've got bad news. We're probably leaving you soon.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah, it's not you, it's me. It's this time in my life.
There's a newer, sexier model coming around that's paying me a little bit of attention.
Yeah, and I think I can save a good bit of money.
She looks fun. Not as high maintenance.
Not nearly as high maintenance.
Because you're kind of high maintenance, but you think you're low maintenance to steal the When Harry Met Sally line.
Yeah. DirecTV is high maintenance.
Yeah. They want to tell you they're low maintenance.
And they're great. I've been with them since like 2002. I'm a big fan. We've had a nice run together. I'll probably miss her a little bit. But I'm starting to think it's time to move on. There's too many other options. And my kids don't watch television.
What option are you leaning toward?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm probably going to.
The Hulu TV has my eye right now.
I'm probably going to listen to you a lot on this. I'm probably going to ask you a lot of questions.
I've checked into YouTube TV a good bit and Hulu TV, and I'm leaning Hulu at the moment.
I actually read a little bit about the YouTube thing. They would have to answer a lot more questions than Hulu would.
I'm already a Hulu subscriber. Yep. I like the platform okay.
Yep.
Which isn't there, if I'm right now, isn't Amazon doing something too?
Yeah, Amazon's doing something too because I was on the
Amazon
plane.
Amazon TV of some sort?
Yeah, I was on the plane from Chicago back to Memphis and the guy behind me was doing Amazon and I asked him about it and he kind of gave me the spiel and it was pretty interesting. He pre-downloads. He's a traveling business guy, you know. And so he gets.
And you mean an actual TV service, not just their Fire TV. They're trying to compete with Hulu or YouTube.
Yeah, like all-encompassing.
Gotcha.
But for him, it was good because he flies a lot. Like, he's like, you know, every week he's flying a lot. He's in hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And he downloads. He can pre-download where he can watch it on his flight across the country.
Yeah.
And then when he gets back to the hotel, he just clears it out and downloads new stuff. He was like, I don't even turn on the. I can't remember the last time I turned on the TV in my hotel room.
No, I hardly ever do that. Unless there's a game or something I'm trying to watch, no.
Yeah, I'll be here by myself all day because you come over and podcast, and then you leave, and I usually have the house to myself until 3-ish.
You don't turn the TV on.
I can't tell you how many days I don't turn the TV on. There's a TV on in here. How many days is it on? If there's a sporting event that I'm watching or something, I don't watch TV, man. Who does? My kids, 16, 14, and 10, none of them are in a TV show. Caroline watches The Kardashians, But she streams that on Hulu.
She can get that. Yeah, because she can get that online.
She watches it on Hulu. And she watches some dancing show.
I have a paranoia about not having it. And I do think it will be a little bit of a hassle during football season. I do. I watch a lot of college football. I think it will be inconvenient. I can get all the games, but just the ability to flip instead of, you know, just the process of flipping.
Having to close out a stream to go to a new stream is a pain. When I can flip and follow two games
but is
with
that,
my thumb.
But is that reason enough that for 9 months a year, I don't watch 3 hours of a week of television that I couldn't find somewhere else, and that's really, really high. It might be 0 to 1 hour a week. I can stream the Golf Channel online.
Yeah. Now, I will miss it in the NBA where I will flip between three games on a night. I'll have Bulls Celtics on one channel, and I'm watching Spurs Mavericks on another, and I'm watching Knicks Nets on another. And yeah, I know that sounds incredibly boring, but I do it, and I'll flip, and I know where they are, and I can flip down. It's quickly, and I can follow all three games and then pick which one I want to watch.
My remedy for that that I've contemplated is using Google Chromecast.
I know what it is, yes.
With Chromecast, you just take a browser on your computer and throw it on your TV. It streams whatever's on your computer to your TV. So if I'm watching four football games,
okay.
In theory, I could just open each one of them up in a different tab on my computer.
Right.
Just click that tab and then stream. Almost use my computer as a remote and just keep twitching the tab that I'm streaming to my TV.
Oh, that's streaming on your TV. That's interesting.
That was my workaround in my head. Bad, good, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they're going to work all these kinks out.
I'm close, though. I'm within
really
60 days.
Along these lines, it's so funny. It was on a beer garden. I had Tommy Prater on. You probably didn't get a chance to listen to it. He was talking about how the topic was NASCAR not dying at all, for the love of God, but losing some popularity as some of the stars go away. And he said that he was in a room with some NASCAR execs, and they were all watching a race on a big screen, and they're like, you know, this is the thing. And he said, no. What you guys have to figure out is how to get people watching NASCAR on the little screen, because that's where the money is. That's where the people are. That's where the young people are. And you better not lose the young people, because if you lose the young people and you rely on nothing but the old people, well, you know how that works. And young people don't watch TV.
Baseball found the young people more than we're giving them credit for because of some different things like you're talking about?
Probably. Carson sits upstairs and watches baseball highlights.
On his phone?
On his phone. All sorts of stuff. Keeps up with it.
Really?
Yeah. Listen, all the stuff about young people. I was at Wrigley for 3 days last weekend, and there were a lot of young people. Because we went down there before the game, and then after the game, and there were a lot of young people down there getting autographs. Every bit as many as were getting autographs when I was a little boy. Lots and lots. I saw lots of little boys wearing Cubs number 17 jerseys.
Yeah, that's...
There are lots of little boys that like Chris Bryant and know who he is.
Podcast brought to you in part by Right Way Meds, located in Holly Springs. Not your typical pharmacy we've been telling you about. They help you out by delivering your medicine to your door. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. You don't have to worry about that trip however often you need it. Get a Right Way Meds. Let's go to Kroger for me. We'd be in really, really good shape. But anyway, they can handle the pharmacy part of the situation for you, where your medication arrives once per month, packaged in easy-to-use box, Hampshire packets. Tear off the first dose. Next dose ready when you are. RightWayMeds.com, 855-252-1011. And remember, if you're a doctor or a medical provider, ask them how they can help with your compliance numbers.
Podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com. Or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. With OUB, you get the Kasasa cash checking account. OUB will pay you 2.5% interest on your balance up to $50,000. They'll refund your ATM fees nationwide. They have free online bill pay and mobile check deposit using the app. Right now at OUB, one-year certificates of deposit are available at 1.75% APY. You can get a three-year triple option CD paying 2.01% APY. And with that, you can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if this three-year CD rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out LiveOxford, BankOxford.com, or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi, works with Tom Smith Land and Homes, is by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. He's from the Mississippi Delta, lives in Jackson, travels up here all the time. No one knows the recreational and timberland tract in Mississippi better than he does. Go to his site, gotland.com. You can give him a call, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. So the All-Star voting updates, Major League Baseball All-Star voting update came out last day or so. Zach Cozart, former Ole Miss shortstop, Cincinnati Reds shortstop, having a phenomenal season. It's being recognized by the voters. If the game were played today, he'd be the starting shortstop for the National League.
Surprises me just from the standpoint of it's nothing but a popularity contest.
It is mostly a popularity contest. I will say this. The voters do an okay job.
Who is second or third in shortstop voting in the National League? Who is he beating that is the surprise?
The popular vote was Addison Russell, because he got it last year, but Russell's not had a good season at all. And then he had the domestic thing.
Yeah, okay.
Which makes it hard to put his name in the ballot right now. American League teams, I mean, George Springer's making it right now. Leading vote getter is Aaron Judge with the Yankees. Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, Nelson Cruz. Here's a feel-good story. Right now, the first baseman is Yonder Alonso, a Miami product, plays for the A's. Would get to go home.
That's good.
That would be a great story. He said he thinks he'd cry the whole week. And then Salvador Perez, the Royals catcher.
Yeah, I'm looking at shortstop stats right now. Offensively, at least. There's nobody that close to Cozart, frankly.
Oh, man, he's had a phenomenal year.
Like Chris Owings is hitting .296. Okay. Not a lot there.
Looking for
Nunez hitting 300. He's actually had a good year. Cozart OPS at 982. That's good, by the way.
Yeah,
for people
it's
that
really good. It would be the infield in the National League would be Bryant at third, Cozart, Murphy, Daniel Murphy with the Mets, and then Zimmerman with the Mets. The Nationals, I mean. Nationals, not Mets.
Huh. Well, all right, wrapping up this weekend. We got College World Series. We have – that's about it. We are hitting the down period now. We're here. It's finishing up.
The National League outfield, by the way, if you're wondering, Bryce Harper, Charlie Blackmon, Jason Hayward.
Jason Hayward.
Jason Hayward. Very popular.
Okay. So. Fair enough. Last word on – we said we'd come back to it. So last word on the Louisville stuff. We've pretty much covered all of it. But now it's a waiting game until North Carolina's COI will be the next thing up, right?
I think that's right.
That's where we are in this overall national process.
They'll actually go have their hearing.
So we'll hear whatever from that. And then
there might be bloodshed at that.
And I don't think there's many similarities at all between North Carolina and Ole Miss for the most part. So you'll be able to take even less from that.
Yeah, there's more to take from this because it was the head coaching thing. That's about it.
The COI gets to wade through three NOAs with North Carolina.
And there's a lot of people out there, and I'll give you an opinion here. It's just an opinion. There's a lot of people out there that think the Rebel Rags lawsuit is going to have a dramatic input or effect. Thank you, on the Ole Miss case. I'm not saying you're wrong, because I don't know, but I don't really think that. Might end up having an impact on the case down the road. But I just don't know that it's going to...
The timeline is hard to fit into it having an impact here.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Unless Tamil's onto something.
Right. No, that's...
And if Pete Tamil's onto something, then I'm if I have any pharmacy friends, I need some help.
I know one.
Do you? You do? That's true.
Yeah.
I need a little... I'm going to need some drugs to get through another year of this.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but... About worn me out.
Has it?
Everywhere you go... It's the topic of
the prevailing topic.
I understand why it's the prevailing topic, but the whole Neil, what's really going to happen?
I really don't know.
No offense, if I really knew, I'd really write it.
Yeah. All right, more podcast next week. Thanks to everybody for a great week. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again on Monday.